Hello, thanks for staying tuned to Hard Factor Nigeria. In for Herring Bon Harker, I'm Dayo. 11 minutes come past 5 p.m. Discussions continue. And you're welcome to join me once again via the usual platforms. We are live on facebook.com/Nigeria Info PH. We are live on Twitter as well at Nigeria Info PH. Remember to follow and like these pages as appropriate. Join the conversation and continue it on those platforms even after said conversation has ended on radio. Next up, we're delving into the realm of the judiciary, especially here in Rivers State. Now, there was some development earlier this year, I think precisely March this year, on improving the judicial process here in Rivers State, all thanks to the Chief Judge of Rivers State, Justice Simeon Madi, who at that time issued new rules to magistrates. And I believe the purpose, amongst others, was to serve to decongest correctional centers. Now, this was in our bulletin, March 17, 2022. Magistrates in Rivers State will no longer refer case files to the Director of Public Prosecution for legal advice on cases that they do not have jurisdiction on. This is as the Chief Judge of the State, Justice Simeon Amadi, issued what is known as practice direction to all magistrate courts in the state as part of efforts to decongest correctional and holding centres in the state. A practice direction, if you're wondering, is an official announcement by the court laying down rules as to how it should function. The new practice direction takes effect this week. Well, back in March, when it was issued, our correspondent, who cited the official Gazette, reports that the objectives of the new practice direction is to simplify the criminal justice procedure in magistrate courts by ensuring speedy trial of criminal cases and accurate returns of all criminal cases every quarter. Also, no charge containing offences beyond the criminal jurisdiction of magistrate courts shall be accepted for filing, registration and assignment. Once again, that was in March this year, and it was lauded. I believe I may have, you know, given a rapturous applause to the Chief Justice at that time. I know I discussed it on the show, and it was a very, very, as we say in this part, welcome development. Because, I mean, we had a time when all kinds of cases were taken, you know, to magistrate courts, even though the whole world knew that the courts had no jurisdiction on the matter, could not entertain them. I mean, no matter how much the magistrates would have loved to entertain the matter, it was literally impossible. Yet these cases were presented before magistrate courts on a daily basis, and even you could script how it was going to play out. Magistrate looks at it, matter is called for hearing. Magistrate says this matter, you know, is beyond the jurisdiction of the magistrate court and is hereby referring the matter to the DPP for advice. Advice on what I do not understand, when even the magistrate himself already knows and has stated that this the matter at hand is beyond his jurisdiction and yet wants to get advice from the DPP. And of course, the script stays true to form, orders that the accused person be remanded in prison custody. And God knows how long it takes sometimes for the DPP also to give advice on something that I could have said in a matter of seconds for absolutely free. It takes weeks, takes months. We've heard sometimes even takes years and sometimes never for the DPP to issue this advice that once again a secondary school student could have issued in a matter of seconds for absolutely free. So it was a breath of fresh air when this practice direction was issued by the Chief Judge of the state. However, earlier today, or was it yesterday, or thereabouts, I came across some story on our bulletin, incidentally, that drew my mind and I took my mind back to the practice direction matter. And it got me thinking, is it possible that a loophole has been found as far as this practice direction issued by the Chief Judge of Rivers State is concerned? Have magistrate courts in Rivers State found a loophole in the practice direction issued by Chief Judge, Justice Simeon Amadi? It got me thinking, and I figured, okay, why not call on a good lawyer, a learned person, and have a conversation on this? Well, here is the matter on our bulletin from earlier today that caught my attention. I think I should go over that right now. And said item, once again, from off our bulletin earlier on today goes thus. A chief magistrate court in Port Harcourt has remanded Chima Amadi and his lover, Oluchi Chima, for attempting to murder and inflict grievous harm on Letitia Chima. The state CIID brought the case to court in form of a remand order on Monday pending a proper arraignment. Our correspondent reports that no plea was taken as no charge was read to the accused. Chief Magistrate Ogugo adjourned to September 23 for the possible arraignment of the defendant on the charges the court has jurisdiction on. I recall the victims... Okay, let's leave that alone. So that's it for now. That's the part that's relevant to this conversation. But once again, you can join via Facebook and Twitter at Nigerian for PH. But also joining me via phone for this very important conversation is a lawyer as well. The learned fellow I reached out to, Henry Akine, is a national legal advisor with the Committee for the Defense of Human Rights. Henry, good evening. And as always, great to have you on the show.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
Great, let's get to it then, but not right away, the nitty-gritty. Let's play around for a bit before we delve into the substance of the matter. When a person is arrested by the police, how long do the police have, or for how long can the police hold that person before that person has to be charged to court?
By the provision of the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria and other enabling acts, whether the police or any other arresting authority, you have a maximum of 24 hours on a condition that that person must be released. Otherwise, 48 hours where there is no court within 40 kilometers radius around where that person is held in custody. And I'll just permit me one more second to explain this. It means that at the moment, there is hardly any justification for anyone to be held in custody of any arresting authority because there is virtually no 40 kilometers radius in any space in Nigeria that you will not find in court. But apparently, straight away, the Constitution guarantees that any person arrested must be allowed to go on bail and released within 24 hours.
Now,
if it has to be any time more than that, then the only reason would be that there is no court within 40 kilometers to arraign that person for that alleged offense.
All right, now correct me if I'm wrong, but my interpretation of what you have said is that if the police hold on to that person for as long as 24 hours, in other words, if they do not let the person go, that suggests to me very strongly that they have a case against the person and they are mandated by law to charge the person to court.
Yes. The only option the arresting authority would have upon the arrest is to charge that person to court. And that is why Dayo is justified that before arrest, you must have carried out and concluded investigation. That's the position of the law. That's what it envisages, so that you don't have a situation where you arrest someone and detain the person in any custody, and then you purport to be carrying out investigation. So you're right, strongly, that upon arrest, you must have had reasonable, credible evidence, and with the proof thereof, to charge this person to court. That's how our laws are. If for any reason you're unable to do so, within 24 hours, then 48 hours window, like I said, must only be on the ground that there is no court at all. Meaning that if there is a court, you must take that person to court either by filing that charge or the information and arraigning the person. Otherwise, if you have any reason that you have any excuse not to charge the person or bring an information in the appropriate court, then seek an order of court.
That's where we're going to now. So are there scenarios in which a person has been arrested by the police and they are, for whatever reason, which is the scenario I would like for you to explain now, if there is any sort of scenario, where if there is a scenario in which the arresting authority, the police in this case, are unable or do not want to prosecute the person but need or want to still hold on to this person or keep this person in detention or in arrest mode, if there is such a scenario or if there are such scenarios, what are these scenarios and under what terms might the police be able to hold on to this person, keep this person arrested longer than 24 or 48 hours without charging the person to court?
Unfortunately, there is no justification known to law for any arresting authority to hold any suspect or any individual beyond these threshold periods. But these are constitutional provisions. It is either 24 hours or 48 hours, or grant the person bail and let the person go, even if you have not concluded investigation. Because erroneously, sometimes the argument has been that, oh, if investigation has not been concluded, then you can probably still hold the person in custody. It's wrong application of the law. The position and the procedure of law is that you must conclude investigation before you arrest. Or if you have not concluded, make sure that the extent and the quantum of investigation or evidence you have gathered upon investigation is such that you can charge this person to court, even if you have any aspect of the investigation remaining to carry out. So there is no justification to the law and to the best of my knowledge that any arresting authority will hold any person in police cell, in the NDLEA cell, in the ESCC cell, or any of those detaining cells longer than 24 hours or 48 hours, except with an order of court.
All right, let's go to the matter of the order of court with some specificity to the particular matter at hand. The case in point, that is, from our news today. A Chief Magistrate Court in Port Harcourt has remanded Chima Madi and his lover, Oluchi Chima, for attempting to murder and inflict grievous harm on Letitia Chima. The state CID brought the case to court in the form of a remand order on Monday, pending the proper arrangement. Okay, now, remand order. That's why the police went to court on Monday, presumably, to get a remand order. What are the circumstances that would necessitate the police to go to court simply to get a remand order? Because it suggests to me that they are not charging the person to court for a crime, but simply going there to get a remand order. Am I correct? And what would be the circumstances that would warrant this?
Yes. Like I said, I haven't laid the foundation. That diligent police officer who would know that keeping the suspect beyond 24 hours, or as the case may be, 48 hours, would be an infringement on the right of the citizen, then it would be a ground, or rather a justification for applying for a remand order. And like I said, that is the only circumstance that any person will be kept in custody, but not here, not in the custody of the arresting authority. Meaning that for the arresting authority, there is no justification you keep anybody in your custody beyond the 24 and 48 hours. Because the remand order does not also mean that that person will be kept in the custody of that arresting authority, except if the court so orders for any particular reason. Otherwise, the remand order meant that the arresting authority would have approached the court for an order of the court that this person be remanded in the correctional center.
Henry, please hold the thought. I must go for a commercial break right now. Hard Facts return shortly. Please stay with us.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on Hard Facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the Hard Facts to Nigeria Info here in Port Harcourt. I'm Dial. 28 minutes ago before 6 p.m. I'm still joined by the CDHR's National Legal Advisor, Henry Akinne. Henry, you're welcome to the show once again.
Thanks.
All right, and we're discussing, what may be or may not be a loophole in the new practice direction issued, well, not so new any longer, or the latest practice direction issued by the Chief Judge of River State, Justice Sibin Amadi, vis-a-vis some development in recent times. And this was the situation once again. A Chief Magistrate Court in Port Harcourt has remanded Chima Amadi and his lover, Oluchi Chima, for attempting to murder and inflict grievous harm on Letitia Chima. The state CID brought the case to court in the form of a remand order on Monday, pending the proper arraignment. Our correspondent reports no plea was taken as no charge was read to the accused. Chief Magistrate Ogugo adjourned to September 23 for the possible arraignment of the defendant or the charges the court has jurisdiction on. So, Henry, before we went on the break, you were responding. I was about to ask you a question, actually, and you were explaining the situation, and I was you were saying that, and I paraphrase, a police officer who knows the law and does not want to contravene the law and needs to or wants to hold a suspect longer than 24 or 48 hours will go to a court to get a remand order. So my question to that is this. Does the police officer simply go to court and tells the court or the magistrate in this case, I want to hold this person longer than 48 hours, give me remand order? Is that how it goes, or is it different?
Not that straight way that just walk into a magistrate. There is a procedure, and that procedure will require an application ex parte by the arresting authority. And then that is supported by affidavit with some facts. And of course, giving some, supporting evidence to the effect that the person arrested and sought to be remanded has the probability or a greater probability of being involved in that commission of that offense alleged. And that's to say that it's a mini process of trial in itself. It's just that it's not the actual criminal trial with a charge or upon an information that the suspect has a defense. In this case, the arresting authority will approach the court by way of an application, and like I said, supporting that with an affidavit, and then the magistrate is still expected and required to inquire into that application as well, to review the facts as deposed in that affidavit. And of course, even looking at the nature of the offense alleged, and then some available evidence. Like I said, in all situations, our laws expect that there must have been investigation. So you wouldn't just arrest a person, and then in the emptiness of any file, then you approach a court. It's ridiculous and it's unacceptable. So it's the same way that if the police, for instance, has arrested a person, and then probably after an investigation, which is the proper way, and for whatever reason, they were unable to prepare a charge. Maybe they are not done with probably preparing the charge or the information. Or perhaps their legal department has not been able to come up with an opinion whether they should actually even prepare a charge. Or they haven't actually got some probably very crucial evidence to be able to approach the court. In a situation where, of course, you have to approach the court with all facts and evidence ready before you charge a person, then they may have a reason to
apologies, Henry. I'd like for us to get to the point I'm driving at very quickly. Pardon me. So,
yes.
This police officer goes to the court and says, your lordship or your magistrateness, apologies, I don't know what the right term would be here. And he goes,
Your worship,
thank you. I need to hold this person longer than 48 hours, and here are the reasons that I need to do that. So the magistrate would have to consider those reasons. And if the magistrate is convinced that those reasons are valid, the magistrate would issue a remand order. Am I right?
Yes.
Now, if the matter for which the police, the arresting agency or officer, wants to charge the person to court for is a matter that the magistrate, as in this case, has no jurisdiction over, for example, murder or, in this case, attempted murder, will the magistrate be right to consider even an application for a remand order on a matter that is beyond his or her jurisdiction?
Yes, Dayo. The legal difference here is that the matter before the magistrate to review is not a charge, is not an information if it were in the High Court. So let's say the magistrate court here is not a charge, it's not a trial, it's not a prosecution really. It is an application before the court, and in this case, it's not quite about the jurisdiction in terms of the power of the magistrate court to entertain that charge with respect to the punishment that is provided by the law under that charge. So I think the distinction here, the magistrate isn't going into the merits of that allegation, Dayo. That's where the distinction stands. The magistrate is not here entertaining any charge. And recall that at this time, no charge has been filed. If it were a charge, then it would be a question of an application for remand. So the circumstance for application
but
for
remand... But it is an application for remand.
Yes, an application for remand. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's different from a charge. A charge would have been outrightly an allegation of the commission of that offense.
But even in the application for the remand, the arresting officer will still have to present to the court what the accused is alleged to have done.
Yes, but the prayer, the application here is on remand.
I understand that. But in considering that application for a remand, the officer has to state what the accused has been precisely, and the magistrate would have to consider that these side by side, whatever compelling case the arresting officer might have to remand that person. Am I right?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Now,
well, like I said, when that is stated on the face of the application, that's the motion paper, the business of the court at this stage is not to go into the merits of hearing, trying the culpability or otherwise of the accused person to the commission of that offense. That is not the situation here.
Okay.
I know usually we say in law, the courts don't answer prayers that are not before the court. The court is not a Father Christmas.
Okay.
The prayers before the court here, or the issue for determination here, is not the culpability or otherwise of the accused person. It's not even about beginning to review the evidence as to find the
I would like to give you a scenario, Henry. So, from history and then, what we were dealing with before and then this scenario we're talking about now. So in the past, before the practice direction issued by the Chief Judge of River State, we had scenarios where, for example, a case of murder or attempted murder will be presented before a magistrate court and the charges are read. In this case, the charges are read in the past. And then the magistrate, his worship, determines, beyond jurisdiction, refers to the PP for advice and issues a remand order. But this was wrong. It wasn't right. And that was why the chief judge issued the practice direction. We can't do that any longer. If the matter is not within your jurisdiction, you can't entertain it. Just dispense of it. Move on immediately. Now, if I were a nefarious police officer, and I think that this practice direction is hampering me, or if I were, with all due respect, a nefarious magistrate, and I think that this is hampering whatever we were benefiting from the previous arrangement, why would I not just take I've arrested the person, I want to hold the person longer than usual. In the past, before practice direction came on board, I could have taken the person to magistrate court, read out the charges against the person. Magistrates would say, nope, beyond jurisdiction, can't deal with this. Refer the matter to the DPP, issue a remand order, case closed. That's what happened before. We can't do that now. So, simply, I will just take that person to magistrate court. This time around, I will not read out the charges. No charges, no, because it is not within the jurisdiction of the magistrate court. So I would simply go there. Your worship, this person has done this and this, so I need to hold this person because I'm still preparing my case file. I'm still preparing God knows what. I want to hold this person longer than I am legally allowed to do so. This is why I think I should hold the person longer. Please grant me a remand order. And the magistrate goes ahead and says, okay, you know what? Remand order granted. How does that not circumvent what the practice direction was designed to curb?
So it really doesn't. The practice direction was particular as to charge, right? That no magistrate must entertain or accept any charge that is beyond the jurisdiction of the magistrate. That is so extant and clear. And then I just try to explain here, there's a distinction between the application for remand and a charge proper, which would have meant that a criminal proceeding has been instituted in the magistrate's court, which is the wrong court that never had the jurisdiction to entertain that criminal proceeding. And at that time, the magistrate usually allowed that charge taken, even if no plea was taken, and for you're acting on the charge. And then, despite another advantage here is, I understand the argument really anyway, which makes some sense too, but by this procedure for application for remand, there is a requirement by the magistrate not to exceed a period. Remember, every ex parte application is a short term in terms of whatever order that is given pursuant to that interim order. That is for the purposes of remand alone, the magistrate may look at, of course, we'll still review, but assuming the magistrate, after the review, sees reason to remand this person, it must not exceed 10 days. But on the other hand, in the old regime, you find a situation where when that person is being remanded by the order of court, sometimes in perpetuity. I just got someone granted bail after 3 years. A young man was remanded to the correctional center, and then no charge whatsoever in the real terms. Because what the judge even saw was just a two-page document of a purported information in a high court. So it was there for 3 years. In this circumstance, the magistrate is mandated by law, not even the direction of the chief judge, by the Administration of Criminal Justice Law, to adjourn this matter, not exceeding 10 days, for a return. And then you must not hold this person even in custody or beyond the.
Okay, Henry, you said 10 days. Pardon my interjection, yes, but this yes, matter days, was this matter was presented before the magistrate yesterday, Monday, and the matter has been adjourned to September 23 for possible arraignment of the defendant on the charges the court has jurisdiction on. Let's deal with the first part of that. So if the matter came up before the court yesterday, Monday, that was September 5, and it's been adjourned to September 23, that obviously is significantly longer than 10 days.
My responsibility here, please permit me, is to review the laws, and as far as that matter is... I don't know whatever justification that got to that kind of adjournment. I've been in courts where the magistrate has been very, very concerned and observant of this provision, and that adjournment wasn't exceeding 10 days. I've also been in court where someone had actually come to the court to ask the court to grant bail, to, in fact, actually even discharge the accused person because the 10 days has elapsed and then there has been no charge filed and no opinion from the DPP. So in this circumstance, I can't comment beyond this. I don't know what justification, but that is the law. The law says not exceeding 10 days. That is Section 303 of the Administration of Criminal Justice Law. That's the law. That even where the court considers, after reviewing the application and then the affidavit and whatever consideration, including the reasonableness of the charges and probably the prevalence of the offense, which are some of the signposts that the magistrate will probably be required to look at, and then the magistrate is convinced that there is reason to remand this person for whatever opportunities may give to the arresting authorities to do one thing or the other, to do the needful of filing a charge or an information in the appropriate high court. But that it must not exceed 10 days. If for any reason at the expiration of the 10 days, that's the law, that charge has not been filed. In fact, that individual can be granted bail.
Okay, Henry, I have to go back to that.
I don't know about how it got to 23rd or 28th of September.
Okay, I have to go back to the 23rd, actually. That's 15 working days. I have to go back to that sentence again for more of our news. Chief Magistrate of Google adjourned September 23 for the possible arraignment of the defendant. The possible arraignment of the defendant on the charges the court has jurisdiction on. Now, that suggests to me strongly once again that the court, obviously, the magistrate court does not have jurisdiction on matters related to murder, whether murder or attempted murder or any kind of murder or any context of murder. The magistrate court cannot deal with that. Now, this matter has been adjourned to September 23 for possible arraignment of the defendant on the charges the court has jurisdiction on. So my question is this. Does it mean that if there is a possible charge of attempted murder against a person, and as an unscrupulous police officer that I might be, I want to hold that person for a long time? Once again, follow my train of thought, please. I can go to magistrate court and say, you know what, your worship, I need to hold this person longer than 24, 48 hours. I'm still working on God knows what. Please grant me a remand order. And magistrate goes ahead to grant remand order. Maybe he's convinced I need to hold that person for a longer period. That's fine. And then because I don't think that I might still be able to present a valid case by the next adjourn date, maybe I just water down, I reduce the charge from attempted murder, which is the reason I'm holding the person in the first place, and I bring it down to loitering. I don't think loitering is still a crime in our laws, but assuming it was still a crime that could be handled by magistrate court, and I bring it down to loitering, and I decide to charge the person for loitering, possibly at the magistrate court, when what I'm aiming at eventually is attempted murder. Please consider these two scenarios I've put before you right now.
Yes, like you said, there can never be a roundabout way in filing a charge before a court against any suspect. You must be definite about what offense the suspect is accused to have committed, and then maybe what law that provided that. So the scenario you gave right now, let's say the facts that are available at the moment amounts to attempted murder. Of course, the punishment for that is life imprisonment, which is clearly outside of the jurisdiction of the magistrate's court. But then now, I think the statement as to a possible arraignment or possible charge is a situation where, in the event that the police is going to actually prefer a charge, if the charge is such that is within the jurisdiction of the court, then on the return date, the court, of course, will look at that charge, and if the charge is within the jurisdiction of the court, then a trial will begin. That's the possibility of a charge. If a charge comes that is outside the jurisdiction of the court, of course, it would have gone against the provisions of the Practice Direction 2022. Then again, on the other hand, if the police now drops probably the charge of attempted murder, and then perhaps upon review of the facts and evidence available after further investigation, and come up with an alleged offence like within the jurisdiction of the magistrate's court, then of course they would have brought a charge on that alleged offence. And there is never a way they would have come around about it, like ambushing the suspect to have filed a charge for loitering, put in quote anyway, I know that what you said as well, and then just to intend to actually prosecute the person for attempted murder. It doesn't work that way. Every criminal trial goes on the offense as alleged on the face of the charge. So it couldn't have been a charge for stealing, and then you get to the court and you're being tried for armed robbery, which is having a higher punishment and maybe outside of the jurisdiction of the magistrate's court. So that's clearly what I think my response will be in that regard. If the police turns in this particular situation and it's something less of attempted murder and comes within the jurisdiction of the court, then a charge would have been preferred before the return date. And upon the return date, then the suspect will be arraigned. And then arraignment simply means reading a charge to the suspect and then the suspect making a plea, either guilty or not guilty, either way.
So once again, Henry, at the danger of sounding like I'm repeating myself, I'd like to rephrase or refer to a question I asked earlier, but maybe adding something to it right now. So, once again, if I'm an unscrupulous police officer and I want to hold on to a person longer than necessary, and the practice direction issued by the chief judge is hampering that from happening, I could just present the accused person at the magistrate court and ask the magistrate for a remand order. Now, your defense to that, if I may use the word defense earlier, was that in the past, we had people being held for months or even for years. You referenced somebody who secured his release after 3 years under similar circumstances. However, 3 years is bad. Is 15 days not bad also? If I can get a judge, a magistrate,
to... as bad as 3 years, a single day of deprivation of the right of liberty of any citizen. We have gone for the enforcement of the right of liberty of a citizen for a single day of unlawful and unjustified arrest and detention.
Thank you very much for that. So what that means is that an unscrupulous officer that I might be might still be able to get the person held for 15 days, who knows, maybe even longer, based on a remand order issued by a magistrate, possibly on the matter that magistrate has no jurisdiction over. That's what I've been hearing so far.
Yes. Now, it's worrisome. I can understand your worry really here, because it does appear that there are elements in society that would want to always circumvent, even when a law is well-intended. The Practice Direction 2022 of 1st March will now seem to be circumvented by the arresting authorities relying on the drawing leverage from Section 303 or 300 to 303 of the Ministry of Criminal Justice Law. But the limitation they have here is that it cannot exceed the 10 days, that is one. And let us assume that they have come to the court and presented facts and preliminary evidence to the extent that the magistrate has agreed for the remand of this person beyond the 24, 48 hours that the police would have kept this person. And it turns out at the end of the day, on the return date, the police is unable to prefer any charge. Like I said, of course, the magistrate will discharge that suspect. Then it is left on the suspect to probably explore a civil remedy by enforcement of his fundamental right. And that, of course, it would have happened even where you truly file a charge, and then the whole process and hog of a criminal trial goes on, and then the person is found not guilty. They can bring a civil action of malicious defamation. I mean, prosecution against the arresting authority.
Yeah, but the whole point of the practice direction was to stop this from happening. Even with the previous regime, people who were illegally detained could have still filed cases, could have still gone to court to seek redress. They could have done that. That was always an option. But the whole point of the practice direction was to ensure that such scenarios do not happen at all.
Oh, well, yes, I think your argument is really strong, and I seem to agree that there appears to be a circumvention of that intention of the practice direction, which was clear that no magistrate shall entertain any charge of any criminal allegation that is above the jurisdiction of the court. One would have expected at that time, and we celebrated that when the direction came, one would have expected at that time that there wouldn't have been any charge for any magistrate court that didn't have the power, the jurisdiction to entertain that matter. And then now Section 303 enables an arresting authority that is detaining a person to apply to want to have the order of court to detain that person beyond the 24, 48 hours. Whatever the justification would be, the reason the arresting authority will advance to the court for that consideration. The point remains that that
Henry,
person
Henry, I'm
held
sincerely sorry.
I agree
with you. We have run out of time right now. Many thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
All right.